Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. You know what I'm going to say? God is good and mightily moving by His Spirit, and I thank God for all who want to do His will. You know, it's a blessing when people desire the things of God. The ratio is low. According to Solomon, he said he watched and counted one by one. He said, There was only one man out of 1,000 that would seek God. Job said the same thing. I believe he got it from Job, and then he counted it out for himself. And if you think about Gideon's army, he started out with 30,000 and ended up with 100. So for 1,000 men, only one would actually follow through and seek God from his heart. And through 12 people, that was 120 in the upper room with Jesus. That was 120 at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, where they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them. And over time, Agrippa said that they turned the world upside down. See, never underestimate what God can do in the life of a person who will seek Him. Most people will not seek God. And I'll even say most Christians will not seek God. If you think about it this way, Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth will come, He will guide you into all truth. We have the privilege of God living in us. We have access to all of His wisdom. We won't receive all of His wisdom, but whatever wisdom we need in life, He will give it to us, and He didn't put a cap on it. That's why I say we have access to all His wisdom. It's whether we use it, whether we ask Him about it or not, we have access to it. But I'm going to say something else about God. He can tell you something very simple, and it'll be a word spoken in seed form that will develop in you. I've had Him to do that for me. I asked him, Lord, he told me something about business. I mentioned it before, but He told me something about business that really would have put me over. He answered my question. Whatever that question was that I had, he answered me, and the wisdom was perfect. And it was so perfect, I said, Lord, I needed to know this a long time ago. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father. Actually, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Because when you trust something, you're satisfied. And people defend what they believe and trust. That's why when we trust something, it needs to be the Word of God. So I started seeking God about other things that I thought I knew. So, because I didn't want to live beneath my means anymore. I knew I didn't have to. And here are some of the topics that I asked him about. How to deal with women. We talked about that last broadcast, how he helped me to, I said, Lord, I don't know how to stop being tempted by women. I pray about it, but I still have their memory, in my mind. And it's aggravating. I don't want to think about women that flirted with me. I don't want them on my mind. I want your word on my mind. And I just didn't know how to deal with it. But I did everything I could find in the Word of God. And one thing he taught me was to love them beyond their actions. Love them beyond what they do. Love them as people, as sisters. And I even pray. I said, Lord, I want to see them as my sisters. I don't want to be tempted with me, just my wife. I want to be and love my wife. I don't want to be thinking about other women. He taught me principles about love. He taught me, I knew what lust would do. I went to a good church at that time, and I knew what happened if you get in lust. There's no love in it. It's just a fleeting it never, you can't be satisfied with lust. And we're going to talk about that later. Anything that you lust after is not going to fulfill your life. There's no fulfillment in lust. There is fulfillment in serving others in love. And what the enemy was trying to tempt me with was debauchery, a false way that would have made me his slave. All sin causes you to be Satan's slave. All of it. Whatever sin you think you like, it causes you to be Satan's slave. If you get in fear, fear always, 100% of the time, attaches you to Satan. It involves Satan in your marriage. You can't have fear in any relationship. Parents fear for their children. That attaches Satan to their children. You don't have to have fear. Fear is a driver. And it works against your peace. It works against your mind. Causes you to do things that would put you in a decrease against life. And you'll end up doing it, causing whatever you fear to come to pass. And that's not necessary. An example. You know, a statement like that deserves an example. A woman had a relationship with somebody she deeply cared about. And he cheated on her. And now that hurt caused her to be in fear. Well, the next time she is in a relationship and care about somebody, and they could care about her. They could think highly of her. And they'll seek to be a blessing to her. But see, along the way, people are going to do similar things. Somewhere the new guy is going to do something similar to the old guy, possibly with different motives, something that reminded her of him. And if she starts fearing that the other guy, the new guy, is going to cheat on her like the old one did, and she act on the fear, she's going to cause whatever she feared to come to pass, unless somebody stops the process. If he has a flat tire and comes home much later, he didn't call because he didn't want to wake her up. Time he walk in the door, where you been? And her husband, you know, he's just coming in. And he had a hard time. He fixed the flat and made it home. Where you been? You been out there with that woman? No, I had a flat. You lying. You just went and got your hands dirty to fool me. Now, how does he feel? If she don't stop that process, eventually he's going to get tired of it and leave. And she's going to be, her fear caused him to leave. Her fear drove a wedge between them. Because she didn't trust him anymore. And so it is in every case of fear. How many people tell their son, you're going to be just like your dad? That's their fear. He's going to be like he's going to be. He may not want to be like his dad. He may not want to go out and get drunk and fight. He might become a great man of God. But fear always is a driver. And remember, what we speak in faith comes to pass. Fear is a belief to the negative. Faith is of God. Faith looks to God. So real faith believes God. Even religions, they don't have faith because it's not of God. False religions are not founded on God's principles at all, period. It's not the word of God. People do a few things that they think is righteous. They don't eat foods. You know, Muslims, they don't eat pork. And the Jews, they didn't eat pork. They didn't eat shellfish. Those things don't make a man righteous. those ceremonial laws served their purpose. The Lord wanted them to have a constant reminder that they were set apart. The Jews were. And the Muslims copied it. And then when once Jesus came, God gave Peter the vision, slay and eat all the different animals. He said, what I clean, don't call it unclean. They were unclean animals, and God cleansed them. And you can eat what you want. The purpose was served. Jesus came. Now we look to Jesus. We don't need props and crutches, types and shadows. We got the real deal. All the purposes of the law was fulfilled in Jesus. He fulfilled the law. We look to him. We believe on his righteous blood. That's why we're righteous. And other religions do nothing about your right, whether you're righteous or not. And when you die, you'll find out that it did nothing for your righteousness. So when you ask the Lord questions and he give you clarity, there's so much wisdom that you go. There's knowledge you're going to learn from that kind of wisdom. The Lord loves you. His word is love. And if more people would seek God like that and get answers, it would be obvious. It would be so easy for people to believe God's word. But see, what has happened is most people won't do that. They'll go with whatever they see. They traditionalize God's word into a cold form of religion. And when they read the word, they read their beliefs into it. And the only way to break that cycle is to really seek God out. When I seek the Lord and ask him questions, there are things that I may believe and think I understand, or, you know, things that I've been taught. But I know that when Jesus said, when he told me, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. All right. The word of God is his ways. Now, after this, he told me that in 88. In 1990, he told me, I want you to read five chapters in the morning. Five chapters in the middle of the day, and five chapters at night. Now, in obeying God, when I read five chapters, I saw a greater picture. I got a greater visual of the word, because my study habits were, I studied the scriptures that would get me out of my trouble or something I wanted to know. I might read the book of Revelation for fun. I might read some of the Ezekiel end time stuff for fun. But the deeper learning came after I obeyed God. And then if I was ever in his presence, I'd be too overwhelmed to compose myself to ask questions. You know how people just fall out in the spirit? Well, after studying chapters in the same situation, I had strength in me to ask questions while he was with me, while I could detect him. Now, God is always with us, but we can't always detect his presence. Because if we could, we try to follow his presence. He wants us to follow his word. But with the word in me, when I entered into his presence and I could detect it, then I would ask him things. I would ask questions that I wanted to know. One of the things I used to ask him about was his creation. I said, Lord, what's on other planets? What is out there? What is this and that? And he answered me. He'd tell me things. He said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. And he told me things that were out there, good things. God is good. In seeking him, he said, I'm still making planets and people. And I dropped my air wrench. And then he gave me a scripture, Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. The parable of when he said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seeds, but it becomes the greatest herb. See, and so it is with heaven. He's still making plans in people. And he's showing me some things. It's good. You're going to want to go to heaven. You're going to see things you never saw before, colors you never seen before. God is good. We got a future ahead of us. But the reason people won't do that is because they're satisfied where they are. And they don't want to change. They're afraid God's going to put them to work. Or they, you know, their view of God is altered by religion, shaped by tradition and religion. Cold religion don't want nothing to do with the perfection of God's word. You know, cold religion is satisfied with a few people getting saved and singing a few songs and going home doing whatever they want to do. Cold religion is satisfied where nobody gets healed. Until it's your wife. Now she needs healing. But you train yourself not to be healed. Preachers have preached messages on why God don't heal. Cold religion don't care about you. But when you're on fire for God, you want the determined things of God. You're determined. And you want what God wants. You want to do what God said you can do. You don't let the devil push you around. The devil is behind cold religion. Well, stop preaching in that name. You know, we covered that a few broadcasts ago. It's the same spirit here now. Those Pharisees back there in the days of Acts are dead. But more people followed them than Peter. They just were not powerful. But the people who followed Peter and Paul, they were powerful. They had an overcoming word. But eventually the darkness of cold religion tried to put out the fire, but it couldn't. And in the dark ages, it was a lot of sin going on. Till Martin Luther came and put up those 95 theses. And others did too in other countries. Some things you don't get to hear about, but there were heroes everywhere that loved God. And they stuck with the wisdom of Jesus Christ. They stuck with his word. In its rightly divided form. See, Satan didn't get everybody. He tried to. Thousands and thousands of people died in plagues. Foolishness. And they died over foolishness. They didn't have a sewer system and died of plagues. But God, we survived. A nation was born that would follow God, had religious freedom. Our government is designed to stay in the power of the people. Now, the enemy is trying to get the people off track so that when they become senators and leaders in the government, they'll take bribes and they'll get nothing done, just like the ones we have now. But there are some honorable people there. One of a thousand will do right. Well, we need the one of a thousand in the offices. We need them to be the governors, and we need the people to want what's right. When the people demand what's wrong, the country is going to fall apart. It'll degrade itself. America's, you know, is not openly mentioned in Revelation like other countries are. I believe it's there, but it's just not openly there. A lot of people here are Christians, and God is going to come back for his people that are living right. Now, those that are not living right, they're going to be left here. People that are doing the works of darkness, they're going to be left. They were washed in the blood, but they did what the world do. They will be left here because God is going to spit out the lukewarm church. Those that go in the rapture will be the hot church. The last church mentioned is Laodicea, and it matches our time. Have a reputation of loving God, but they do other stuff. They do slick stuff. They hide and do stuff. They go out of town and do stuff. They going to be left here. You sound like an old holiness preacher. I am an old holiness preacher. Not in the old traditions, but I believe in doing right. The word of God says you got to do right. You just got to do right, even if it's not popular. Holiness preachers wasn't always wrong. They just, the devil got them with those silly laws that they, you know, the dress code of women and all the fears and, you know, people couldn't play sports. Foolishness. God didn't give you those commandments. They twisted commandments that God did give. And they put people in bondage. And they wouldn't listen. Religious people can be some of the most stubborn and hard-headed people in the world. But when, if you, but in order to learn from God, you have to be, you have to desire His word, and you have to receive His word just like it is. And if you're not seeking His word, you're not going to learn it. The word of God makes the difference. So it's not that many people that will seek Him out compared to the ones that won't. There are many that will, but compared to the ones that will just live a mundane life and not seek God, those that seek God are greatly outnumbered. Because the introduction, sometimes the people who introduced us to Christ, they didn't, you know, we bear fruit after our kind. What people see, people don't really expect to live any greater than those that led them to Christ. And that's, you know, but you have to look beyond the people. And very few people would actually do that. So don't be like that. You're going to have to look to God. Thank God for the people that bless you. But it's so much more to know. And you got a devil out there that already knows something, most of the stuff that you're going to learn. And he know how to twist God's word. You're going to have to be in love with God's word in order to overcome this nasty world. Not in fear, but you got to charge yourself with the word of God so that, and the anointing always works. But in order to cooperate and actually use the anointing, you got to be full of the word of God. There's no two ways about it. Now, last time we talked about the thorns. We made it to the good ground. In verse 18, I'm going to look at the thorns again. Now, this is the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seeds. My Bible calls it the parable of the seeds. Some Bibles call it the parable of the sower. And the seeds is a subject in the heart, the way we receive the word of God. Verse 18 said, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Just like we said in the last broadcast. When this happened, when people get in this device, that's what it is, a device. They get in this device. They don't mean any harm most of the time. They're trying to do their natural duties, but you can't let your eyes veer off Jesus. You got to stay focused on Him and His love. That's the backbone of your men. That's why you're going to succeed. But when you start looking at your power, well, I got to do this to pay this, and I got to do that. I got to make sure this happens. Do it in faith, not in fear. That makes the difference. Do it without worry. See, the first part, just like we said last time, the cares of this world. Take the worry is painful. Take the pain out. Don't worry about it. God got you. It's going to work out. You're going to win. Now, how are you going to win? I don't know. You're going to seek God. Lord, help me do this. This is where I'm going. But keep being devoted to God. And if you're a pastor, people don't put money in church, ask the Lord for a job or a work situation or something so that you can pay the bills better till people catch up. But don't get in strife with them. Stay in the love of God. I decided a long time ago, I'm going to enjoy God in His presence. And ministry will take care of itself. And it works that way. Then I can stay on board with Him, and I do what He say, and I receive His wisdom, and I work, and I do things better and better. Because I'm always learning from Him. So that destroys worry. Worry is a reducer. the deceitfulness of riches. I don't need money as much. You know, my pastor always say, you don't need money, you need faith. that's true. He needed money one time, but he had faith. And so the Lord said, speak to the mountain. So he said, what? He said, speak to the mountain. He was driving down Minor Parkway, and there was a lot of clay, red dirt by the church. He said, what are you talking about, Lord? He said, sell the dirt. So he asked the men of the church to make a sign, and I made this sign that said dirt for sale. It was eight feet by 16 feet. And it was out there, and he sold $170,000 worth of dirt. You don't need money, you need faith. The Lord will show you your options. Everybody's got them. He didn't, you know, you ain't got to worry about money. He had faith, and it worked. And they used that dirt to build that school in Wilder and other places. Contractors said that was some of the best dirt, but he sold enough to, it was a blessing. And the deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word. It takes your attention away from the word that's giving you strength and life. So when you put things in order, it works. Now watch what happens with the good soul. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit. Psalm 30, Psalm 60, Psalm 100. Some people don't lose anything. Some people gain everything. And it's up to you. But the word helps you receive the word. The word helps you to receive the strength you need, the nutrients you need, supply you fully. And when you're willing and obedient to fully cooperate with God, my friend, you have a full supply of Him, and it's going to be that strength that's coming in you comes to you in seed form. If it nourishes you, and you have faith for greater things, and you become a seed form for the plan of God, and the plan of God ever increases on the earth, and it ever increases in those who love God, and we bear fruit out that kind. So the people who listen to you, they become like you. The anointing that's on you to enable you to minister to people in greater places gets on the people, and they automatically are able to give more. They make wiser decisions. They take care of their vehicles. They take care of their house. And things are not breaking down. They have more money to sow into the ministry. They have the wisdom of God that they're seeing you operating in the wisdom of God, and they are operating in the wisdom of God. You're not worrying before them, so they start worrying as well. Because they see you, because you see Jesus. And that's the way it is. And it doesn't have to, it's not limited to a church. It can be where the people that you work with. Your rapport will grow because you love God. And they'll see you prosper, and they'll ask your advice, and they'll do what you do, and they will prosper. We bear fruit after our kind. You don't complain. You brag on God. They'll see you not complain against the boss and brag on God and work as unto God. It takes time, but over time it happens. And they'll start doing that job, and they'll stop listening to their flesh, the world, and the devil, and they'll start doing things God's way. And they'll bear more fruit just like you. And then their children are watching them. They're learning honor because you watch God. And every time you're challenged, you're handling it biblically. You're always ever increasing in the wonderful things of God. And that's what God set us up to be. Be one of a thousand. Most people are not going to do this. You can't depend on people's encouragement either. Thank God for them, but do what God say do. And you're going to see a greater change. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He's going to continue to move in your life. God has so much to say. And he's worthy of all our praise. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. In Jesus' name.